In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Excellence. Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Mo.
And this is Dallin. Guys, welcome back. It's good to be here, right, Mitch?
Dude, episode 101. Let's start on the next 100, my friend. Time to grind.
Crazy. Let's do it. Crazy. What a time in the world, guys. We are back. Week one of the NFL season is in the books, and an exciting weekend of games. I mean, from the great Thursday night game to kick the week off with the Bucks and the Cowboys coming down to the wire to the Monday night game last night in Vegas. An overtime thriller. I mean, what a weekend of games. What an exciting start to this NFL season. So today we're going to give you guys our NFL season preview predictions, where we go through every team, record predictions, Super Bowl predictions, all of it here on this episode. And we're going to do this with the context of week one, you know, in mind, what we saw from these teams in one game. Small sample size. We don't want to overact too much, right, Mitch? But, you know, we might feel better or worse about some of these predictions we have here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really trying, and you told me before we started going, don't overreact. We're not going to overreact.
It's week one. We do this every year, right? You know, you're just like, oh my gosh, this team's going to be incredible. Turns out they might not, but you know.
I warned you, Spicy Mitch might come out tonight. You might see Spicy Mitch, but no, yeah, it's all in context of week one. No overreactions, maybe a couple, but not a lot. And we're going to break this thing down as best as we can. Turning on the TV after church on Sunday and you see full stands across the NFL, you see actual football being played with fans in the stands. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. What a time we live in that we get to experience something like that coming back after it's taken away from us. It was such a great feeling to see actual football with fans in the stands happening right in front of us. It was a great weekend of football.
Yeah. And you said it very well there, Mitch, where, you know, without it being taken away from us, I don't think we could truly appreciate what it feels like to have it back. As you said,
it's a brand new appreciation,
you know? And so, you know, some of these teams didn't play a single game in front of fans at their home stadium, some with very limited fans by the end of the season. So yes, very exciting stuff to see that. And you could tell it had an impact. I mean, speaking specifically about some of the games I watched that Monday night game, Allegiant Stadium was rocking with the Raiders. Man. It was awesome. And you could tell it had a profound impact on the Baltimore Ravens playing in that environment. And so again, home field advantage, alive and well in 2021. And it's exciting stuff for us to be able to watch. So Mitch, let's just jump right into this this season preview. I'm going to give you the choice. Do you want to start with the AFC or the NFC?
You know what? Let's start in the conference of our boys, the NFC.
Okay, well, let's start in your division, then, the NFC North.
Oh,
here.
Boy.
So,
oh, no.
Last season, obviously, Green Bay wins this division. You know, handily, they were one of the best teams in the NFC last year. Bears, a playoff team, a wild card team last year. How do we have this shaken out, Mitch? How about you give me, let's just start with the Packers. I'm assuming we both have the Packers winning this division, right? No funny business here with the Bears. Okay. I know you're a homer, but no funny business here with the Bears. You love Andy Dalton. I get it. But like,
no, I don't love Andy Dalton. Let's make that very clear. You thought you could sneak that past me, Professor Pee-Pee Fingers. No, that's over now.
That's Professor okay. Pee-Pee. You get one more in before you go.
All right. No, No, no funny business. I do have the Packers take this. And in the context of week one, we saw what happened in week one. They play the Saints. They go down to New Orleans. And it was an absolute blowout. 38-3 was the final score. Jameis Winston throws 5 touchdown passes without throwing over 150 yards. Aaron Rodgers gets held to under 150 yards, throws 2 picks. I still have him to win the division. I had him at 12-5. This is one of those things that do not overreact to this. This was a situation where I think that this Packers team was ill-prepared. You know, with all the controversy and the unsuredness in the front office and on the field of what Aaron Rodgers was going to do. He didn't show up until right at the beginning of training camp. They just looked ill-prepared, and Jameis Winston looked great. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from him. But you know, the Packers just look ill-prepared. Don't overreact to that. The Packers are going to be just fine. They're still going to be winning this division handily, I think.
And you had 12-5 for the record, right?
Yes, that was my way too early, and I think I'm going to stick with 12-5. Okay.
Yeah, so I obviously have Green Bay winning the division, 14-3 for me, number one seed in the NFC. I'm not taking much from this week one, and not to talk about this game too much, but Aaron Rodgers had the ball 3 times, I think, in the first half. The Saints did an incredible job of keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field, which is, how do you beat a great player? Well, you just don't give him the ball, right? And the Saints had multiple drives of, 13, 14, 15 plays, took significant time off the clock. And, you know, by the time it's halftime, it's 17-0. And that's a big hole to dig yourself out of. It got even worse, you know, it compounded in the second half for the Packers, but they were probably destined to lose that game no matter what at halftime, based on just not being able to get anything going on offense with so few possessions. So again, first week, you know, Sean Payton, the Saints, hell of a job coming out there, doing what they needed to do, dominating that game, not worried about the Packers at all. This is the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. This is the Aaron Rodgers finale in Green Bay, in my opinion, this season. So I expect him to be on point. I expect this team to be on point and him to carry them to great heights, I will say. So Packers winning the NFC North easy. Mitch, who finishes second, though? And is there another playoff team from this division?
No other playoff teams. Okay. I have the Bears at 8-9 with the anticipation that they are going to start Justin Fields at some point.
Okay. So they start Fields and they get to 8-9.
Yes. And I think that we talked about this before we started recording. They need to start Justin Fields way sooner than anticipated. Andy Dalton did not look good. Justin Fields looked like an absolute athlete on that read option they played. By the way, Matt Nagy, can you please make it a little less obvious that you're running read option when you're inside the 10? Make it a little less obvious. You take Andy Dalton off the field. You put Justin Fields on the field. Oh, what are they doing? Obviously, he's not throwing the football. Okay, you have a guy with legs. They're obviously doing something running the football inside the 10-yard line. It's read option. He makes it happen. He looks great, and it's fantastic. But, I mean, Andy Dalton just had no control over that offense. He had no he didn't look like a field general at all, which is kind of what they're asking him to do because he doesn't have a great arm anyway. He's not a big arm guy. You got to start Justin Fields a hell of a lot sooner than, hell of a lot sooner than later. The Bears defense, which is kind of one of what was going to be our saving grace, did not look good against the Rams. Maybe a little week one jitters, shake it off, come back with a new type of energy in week two. But Bears 8-9. They could slip to that third spot too, but I'm not expecting them to be a playoff team. 8-9, and that's probably close to the ceiling.
Sure. Right. Well, and I mean that, a lot of that will depend on when Justin Fields would come in. Correct. I think for the Bears to get to that 8-9 mark, they're going to need this defense to perform as like a top 12 unit. Obviously, this is not the Bears defense from 2018. I think the secondary is particularly weak. They're relying a lot on second-year guy and Jalen Johnson to be, what, the number one corner. And then I don't even know who the second corner on that team is. Eddie Jackson doesn't look quite the same. So, you know, there are some holes on the secondary there I think will play, you know, be a weakness. Khalil Mack, you know, up front, that front seven, strong as always for the Bears. I don't have any issues with that. If the defense could perform at that high level, then I think whoever the quarterback is, whether it is Dalton or it is Justin Fields, I think they could get to the 7-8-9 win range. But I have the Bears going 5-12 this year, which is, you know, baking in about half a season of Andy Dalton and then giving Justin Fields the ball for the second half of that season. He's going to get a couple wins that they maybe shouldn't, but you know, that rookie mojo that, you know, he can do anything. No one knows what to expect. Maybe get some a couple extra wins and then they fire Matt Nagy and it's a rebuild and here we go. So that's the prediction I have for the Bears. Unfortunately, maybe it is fortunately for you. I don't know. I mean, it's not like the Matt Nagy era has been anything, you know, to write home about. So maybe you'd be, elated to have a new head coach, but either way, I don't foresee this as a successful season. Certainly not a playoff team that was that like they were last year, which I mean, they were an 8-8 playoff team. But again, I had them in third in the division, but not a very good season, I expect, for Chicago.
Yeah.
So let's get to the other team then, maybe competing there, the Minnesota Vikings. I had Minnesota to finish second in the NFC North. I had them going 8-9. I think Minnesota is a solid football team, but not a great football team. They were 7-9 last year, 8-9 this year. You know, health is going to be an issue. The defense could be pretty good, you know, but I don't know. They're sort of right in the middle for me. They could maybe compete for a playoff spot. They could maybe win six games. So I had them in 8-9, kind of right in the middle of the field here for Minnesota. What did you have?
Yeah, I mean, I had them at 7-10. On my amendments before we started getting going, I wrote down 9-8 as the ceiling. To where they could right. beat that second place team.
I could even see 10-7. I mean, in a 17 game season, 10 wins. I mean, that's going 9-7 and having a toss up in the last game. Like, you know, it's possible.
It's possible. I fall less and less in love with Kirk Cousins the more I watch him play. And it's not, look, the offensive line isn't great. The run game is great. Offensive line still isn't that good. It doesn't blow me away. And I don't know if this is an indictment of the offensive line or Kirk Cousins, but I fall less and less in love with Kirk Cousins the more I watch him play. And I just feel like that this is a guy that has the talent. He doesn't really ever fully utilize it. There's something that he's missing every week. He doesn't ever put the whole thing together. And so I had him at 7-10. I put 9-8 as their ceiling. This is a team that, sure, maybe a 10-win season is something that's possible, that's in the realm of possibility for the Minnesota Vikings. But, I cannot buy in. I just can't buy into the Vikes. I can't buy into the Vikes. No skull for me. No skull for me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think that's why I had him at 8-9. You know, it could be a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse. Eight wins seemed fair there. Let's briefly talk about the final team, the bottom of this division, the Detroit Lions. Going to be another tough year for the Lions here. I had them at 3-14 with the that would give them the worst record in the NFC. What about you?
Yeah. 3-14 and the worst record in the NFC.
There you go.
I don't think that they'll, based off, you know, week one reactions, they may not be the worst team in the NFC. There might be another team that's going to compete with that, and we'll get to that in a bit. But, you know, Jared Goff is kind of thrown into a bad situation. I don't think Jared Goff's a bad quarterback. He had success. He went to a Super Bowl with the Rams. But, you know, he had exceptional weapons there. He had a prime Todd Gurley. He had a great offensive line. He had a great defense to complement it.
And he had Sean McVay. That helps.
And he had Sean McVay. And so, you know, he's just kind of thrown into a bad organization, a bad situation. And there's just not a whole lot of hope in the Motor City this year for me. Yeah. 3-14, and I'm not even give them a ceiling. That seems about right.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously, I mean, the moves they made moving on from Stafford, they're clearly going to really tear things down to the studs, work their way back up, investing on the offensive and defensive line as they had in the secondary previously. You know, you see that coming. So I don't think they'll be sad if they go 3-14. That's going to put them in position to draft the quarterback of the future at the top of next year's NFL draft. And that's, you know, for a team like Detroit, it's probably where you want to be. So, okay, that's it for the NFC North, Mitch. Let's go over to the division I care most about, the NFC South. Last year, Tampa Bay. Let's not forget, because I did. The New Orleans Saints won this division last year.
They 12, did. Yeah.
12-4. Buccaneers 11-5. Both those playoff teams, obviously. Going into 2021, though, Mitch, the favorite is clearly the Bucs, having returned all 22 starters from the Super Bowl winning team in February. I have them winning this division by a wide margin, 14-3 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In 2021, I expect much of the same that we saw towards the, you know, back half of last season and in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're not far off. I have 13-4 winning this by six games. Yeah, lest we forget that the Saints actually pulled off a 12-4 season with a hobbled and aging Drew Brees, who,
and
by the way,
four games of Taysom Hill, you know,
which, by the way, Drew Brees did a fantastic job on air for the first time.
Yeah.
Big ups to Drew Brees. But yeah, the Buccaneers, and I'll get into this rant when we get to the next division. But the Bucs looked great on Thursday night. They look to return to form. If there's one sleeper player for all you fantasy players, I'm an owner of his in two leagues. Keep your eye on Antonio Brown, because Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are going to get blanketed no matter where you go. AB is the clear third option in that offense. And when you have a guy like AB, who's your third option, that's a pretty goddamn good option to throw to, is Antonio Brown, no matter how crazy he is.
It's the guy
still, he's still good at football. So, you know, this team, like you said, 22 starters returned, all 11 on offense, all 11 on defense. That defense is fantastic. That was a gnarly injury to Sean Murphy Bunting early in the game with the elbow getting dislocated. Speedy recovery for him. But these Bucks are going to be good. They're just going
to
be good.
You know, I have questions. You know, I think we like to just think, oh, they brought everybody back, it's going to be all the same, back to the Super Bowl, it's going to go smooth. It's not going to go the same. You know, year by year, no. There's so much luck, injury luck, just game winning luck week in and week out that can, you know, make a difference. I mean, look at the Chiefs in 2019, that season, everything goes well. They make it to the Super Bowl, they beat the Niners. The next year, they're in the Super Bowl, but it looks a lot different. Depleted at injuries on the offensive line, you know, not everyone is healthy, and it's a different outcome. So even if the Bucs were to make it to the Super Bowl again, it could be a very different looking team in a different shape than they were last season. So I still expect them to win games. They're going to be the favorite in their division. 5 or 6 division wins, easy for them, I believe. You know, so they're going to be there at the end of the season, but I don't expect it to, you know, just be a cakewalk for them. And they're suddenly going to be dominant, you know, week in and week out. It's the NFL, and you know, things can change very quickly. So safe to say, though, definitely the favorite in the South. I am curious, though, Mitch, who do you have second place here?
So I have the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
At 7-10.
Seven and ten.
Them at 7-10. But, you know, this is where I'm going to overreact a little bit. Just a little bit. Not over the top. This could be a 9-10 win team if Jameis Winston plays as well as he did against Green Bay. I don't think that they have to have Jameis throw for 400 yards a game. They have to put him in the right situations. And I made this argument with Blake Bortles a couple years ago when the Jags went on their run. And I understand. I know.
Quite that's the name to bring up here as you try to defend your take.
Blake Bortles is still undefeated in Europe. So I understand that it is a very sketchy leg to lean on when you're talking about arguments, but they still have Alvin Kamara. They have a decent defense. Okay. The passing attack is,
I mean, it looks better than decent on Sunday, Mitch.
Yeah.
I mean, if the defense is playing at that level, then I'm 100% with you. They could win nine or 10 games, but it's going
to, I say decent because I chalk that up more to Green Bay just being ill-prepared. They still have a decent passing attack even without Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas is disgruntled and hurt. So who knows what he's going to do when he comes back. Jameis just looked really good. That offense looks really good. Sean Payton is doing Sean Payton things. And with a guy like Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield that can run the ball and catch passes out of the backfield for you, that might be the guy that they bear a lot of the load on moving forward. Is Alvin Kamara and the arm talent that Jameis actually has. So, you know, 7-10 is pretty conservative. I think that 8 or 9 wins is more realistic, but not a playoff team. Not a playoff team for me. They sit in second, well behind Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So I had New Orleans at 8-9 as well. And I'm, you know, that a lot of that is the quality of the defense and Alvin Kamara. Their ability to run the ball. The formula for success on Sunday against Green Bay was not asking Jameis to do too much. And the game plan worked perfectly for them. The problem is that every week is not going to go like that. And when you have to put the ball in Jameis Winston's hands and you need him to throw it 40 times a game, can he do that and not lose you games by turning the ball over? That's what we will find out. He didn't have to do that this week. He looked great. It's not going to look like that every week. There's going to be some weeks where it looks like it did in week one. There's going to be some rough Jameis games out there. That's going to lead to some losses. So 8-9 seemed about right. 7, 8, 9 wins, somewhere in that range. Absolutely. I think the competency on this roster as a whole is too good to be a bad team, but just not at the playoff level that we saw last year. So I'm right there with you on the Saints. But I did have them technically third, Mitch, because the team I had second was also 8-9, and it's my Carolina Panthers. Carolina, in my simulation, must have got the tiebreaker, home record, whatever it was, over the Saints, because both went 8-9, but Carolina second in this division, Mitch. And, you know, I think a lot of this is going to just be on the quality of the offense. I think the offense could definitely be top 12 unit in the NFL. They have a ton of weapons for Sam Darnold. If he just does what he did on Sunday, get the ball out quickly to those targets, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey, just get it out, get it in their hands, let them work. This defense is going to get even better as the year goes on. That front seven is scary. That defensive line is legitimately scary. Brian Burns, Derek Brown, they're going to have big seasons. I think Carolina is going to be a sneaky good team. 8-9, 7-10, maybe 9-8. I don't know. They're not going to be a playoff team. They might flirt with that wild card spot for a little bit at the end of the season as things are shaken out. But I think this is going to be a good season for the Panthers, a move in the right direction. And, you know, if Sam Darnold, you know, shows to be even more, the potential has been raised for the Panthers. But I'm going to say 8-9. I'm pretty excited.
So originally I had him out at 7-10. I have flipped on that. I like Sam Darnold in Carolina. In fact, I like him a lot. I'm putting them down an 8, and they're going to be flirting with a wild card spot. With a wild card spot.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of a sleeper defensive player of the year pick. Don't be surprised if Brian Burns turns it up a little bit.
Do not be surprised. I mean, that guy. Do not be surprised if that guy turns.
Now he's got a lot of competition for defensive player of the year, especially when it comes to defensive linemen. He's got Danielle Hunter up there in Minnesota. You know, you got DeMarcus Lawrence over there in Dallas. Don't be surprised if you see Brian Burns turn it up. A little bit of a sleeper pick for defensive player of the year. I am a little bit higher on this Panthers team than I have been in the past. And nine wins does not seem out of the realm of possibility for me. In fact, I'm going to put them above the Saints in that division, finishing second, Saints finishing third. Give me the Panthers to go 9-8.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, I think obviously a lot of this depends on Sam Darnold. How good is he really? How good is that offensive line? Can the offensive line be above average, you know, this season? Can the secondary, which is young, show out a little stronger? J.C. Horn, Dante Jackson, Jeremy Chinn. There's potential all over that team. How much of it is realized in 2021 will make a big difference on how well this team plays. Mitch, final team, Atlanta Falcons, bottom of the barrel here in the NFC South. I had them at 4-13. It's going to be a rough season in Atlanta. First year as the head coach there for Arthur Smith. I mean, they're in a rebuild, and it's going to be time to look at the quarterback of the future in the NFL draft and sort of tear this thing down and work it back up.
Yeah, this is the team I was talking about when I said that the Lions may not be the worst team in the NFC because it might be the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan, to me, in that game against Philadelphia, just looked washed. He just looked washed. He's going to be one of those guys, I think, that might show his age a little bit earlier than a lot of other guys. I think they have some issues now with Calvin Ridley. You take Julio Jones out of that offensive attack, that blanket is no longer gone. Calvin Ridley is the guy, the number one, in that receiver core for Atlanta, and he's going to be targeted every week. You're not worried about Russell Gage. You're not worried about any of those guys. You're worried about Calvin Ridley. And when he gets shut down with a guy that is definitely on the back half of his career now and is really starting to show it, with no run game to show other than, I guess, Mike Davis, who might be decent at best. It's and as atrocious as the defense has been with Arthur Smith. Yeah, this team's going to be bad. I had him at 5-12. Let's put him a little bit lower at about the 13-4 range or the 3-14 range.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the NFC East here. Last year, the Washington football team wins this division 7-9. I mean, this was a tough division in 2020. I do think a team wins this division with a winning record. Bold prediction. Winning record for the division champion in the NFC East. And I'm going with the Cowboys, Mitch. 10-7 for the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're in the best position to succeed this year because they have a top 10 and potentially a top 5 offense with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and all of those weapons. So I think they're going to be able to put up points. If the defense can be average, it could be a very good team. I'm going 10-7. It's not great. It's pretty good, and obviously good enough to win this division here. So I've got Dallas, NFC East champs.
Well, we're sleeping on the best team in this division right now. This is probably the toughest division to talk about too, because there's a lot of what if factors when it comes to the NFC East. I'm taking the Washington football team to win this division at 11-6.
Wow. Okay. You're that confident in Tyler Heinicke, huh? Because it's no Ryan Fitzpatrick anymore.
It's not Tyler Heinicke. And Tyler Heinicke, I think, is a gamer. I think that guy's a gamer. He may not be the most talented or gifted quarterback in the league, but that guy can be balls. He balls out. You got Antonio Gibson, an emerging running back. You have an upgraded wide receiver core with Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel. You have the tight end option of Logan Thomas. You have probably one of the best front sevens in the entire NFL, one of the best defenses, and they're led by one of the greatest head coaches in the NFL right now, Riverboat Ron Rivera. Riverboat Ron, one of the most dominant coaches in the league right now. One of the most inspirational coaches in the league right now. No, not even one of them. The most inspirational coach in the league right now. He knows how to rally the troops better than anyone else in the NFL right now. And I got to give them 11 wins that we're sleeping on this. We're sleeping on the football team. Wow. We're sleeping on the football team, and I got to get behind them.
Wow. I'm pretty surprised. So I had Washington at 8-9, which I don't think is bad at all. I mean, they're a solid football team. Obviously, we know what the defense is. I have questions about the offense, whether it's Fitzpatrick at quarterback or not, especially with Taylor Heinicke. I'm not going to bet on that team. Curtis Samuel injured right now. I know Terry McLaurin is what he is. Antonio Gibson could be huge this year, but there's just too many unknowns and hoping for guys to make leaps. Whereas I think Cowboys, besides health, a little more of a sure thing there. So as good as the defense may be in Washington, as good as the defense may be, and it should be very, very good. And 8-9, that's going to be a competitive team. You know, they're going to be in a lot of games. You might not get all of them going their way in the end. So I had them second in the division, 8-9. 11-6 is pretty bullish. Mitch, I appreciate the take there. Riding for Taylor Heinicke. I like it. Where did you have Dallas then in this division?
That's about the nicest way I've ever heard anyone say you're stupid.
No, I didn't listen. Listen, I mean, it's not like I had them going 4-13, you know, I think they're a
solid team. I'm joking with you.
I see it though. I want to give you credit here because that defense is really good. And if the offense can be competent above average and the defense could be top five, which it could be, then definitely this team could be really scary. But Dallas, where did you have them in this division?
Dallas originally had them at 11-6, dropped them down to 9-8.
9-8. Okay. Do they make the playoffs at 9-8?
They're fighting for a wild card.
Fighting for a wild card. Okay.
And here's the deal is I don't believe in Mike McCarthy. I don't believe in Mike McCarthy because he committed the cardinal sin on Thursday night. You have Tom Brady on the ropes. You have the Buccaneers on the ropes. And what do? You give Tom Brady a minute 24 to go down and do something against you. You had them on the ropes. And if you can make that big of a mistake, and I know that it's only a 2-point loss for them, but that is such a huge mistake that, and based off recent history of the Dallas Cowboys, I can't buy into them. I just can't do it. I love everything about that team on the offense. The defense is coming back healthy. But I cannot buy into anything that Mike McCarthy is going to do because of that huge mistake he made on Thursday night.
Sure. You know, listen, I'm totally with you on McCarthy. I think for the regular season, it won't matter as much, but definitely come playoff time. You know, as good as Dallas might look in the regular season, it's going to give me a lot of hesitancy on picking them to actually win games when it matters because of the Mike McCarthy factor. I do want to add here on Dallas before we move on. Defense, you know, a lot of young pieces hoping, you know, guys show up. You mentioned Dexter Lawrence or DeMarcus Lawrence before, who is an underrated pass rusher off the edge that we sort of forget about because there's so many talented guys. Micah Parsons, also the rookie out of Penn State, looked really good in week one. And if he is that solid as a rookie, elevates it even more. So there's potential on that side of the ball, but that's definitely the biggest question mark for Dallas, how good that defense actually is. Let's go to third place. I'm assuming we have the same team here. I had Philly as a third place team in this division. And Mitch, maybe I got a little excited after week one, but I had them at 8-9. Maybe I did an oopsie here. Maybe that's like the ceiling. 6-7 wins, probably more realistic for the Eagles. I don't think they're going to have a winning record by any means, but Jalen Hurts looked competent. Those weapons looked better than expected. Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, you know, there's something to be excited about here with Philly. I think they might be sneaky competitive, not going to be a great team, not a playoff team, but better than expected. I'm going 8-9.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 8-9.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot other than to see what kind of weapon Jalen Hurts is going to be. And he looked like a weapon.
Right
on Sunday, but you know, other than that, this team is very bleh.
It's just
very middle of the road.
Hard to pinpoint. And they're, you know, new head coach Nick Sirianni. Obviously, Jalen Hurts taking over full time this year. There is a lot of sort of new and an unknown here. We'll find out over the course of the season how this shakes out. One of those teams that's hard to predict what it's going to look like in 2021 with you know some of the turnover that they've had.
Right.
So final team, the Giants, definitely the seller of this division, Mitch. It's time to move on from Daniel Jones. They will in this next draft here. I have 4-13 for the New York Giants, one of the worst teams in the NFC, and likely in line for like a top five pick in the draft.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that Saquon bounces back really well. And he buys them an extra win. So I have him at 5-12, but you know, there's nothing exciting about this team. There's nothing exciting about the Giants.
No. I mean, and they're, you know, they're still a young team.
Joe Judge, Daniel Jones will be gone. Joe Judge should be gone by the end of the year. I mean, it's tough to get behind anything in this team right now.
It's tough. Yeah, they're in a tough spot, that's for sure. Mitch, NFC West, last season, Seattle Seahawks won the division 12-4. Rams were 10-6, made the playoffs as well. So two playoff teams from this division. Mitch, I have 4 playoff teams from this division.
I have
every single team in the NFC West making the playoffs this year. I didn't mean to, it wasn't on purpose. That's just kind of how it played out, but I kind of don't hate it.
Nah.
I feel good about it.
I wouldn't feel bad about it either, man.
So let's
feel bad about it.
Let's start at the top here. I'll let you start. Who did you have winning this, which, maybe I shouldn't speak for the both of us, but best division in the NFL, right?
Yeah. NFC best got the Seahawks 13-4. Russ can still cook. So, let him cook. Tyler Lockett, the most underrated wide receiver in the entire NFL, is going to continue to be his top target. The run game is always going to be a question mark, but they always seem to find a certain way to get it done, most of the time through or via Chris Carson. And the defense will always be a part of it. Pete Carroll knows how to lead winners there. And Seattle is just, they're the top of that division, 13-4, not by a big margin. I actually have them 3-3 in the division. So it's going to be a competitive division, but they play exceptionally well out of the division.
Sure.
So.
Okay. I like it. Obviously I have the Seahawks making the playoffs here, as I alluded to earlier. I don't have them winning the division though. I had them going 11-6, ending up as a wild card team, actually third in the division. Get that, third in the division at 11-6, and 3-3 in the division as well. I think it's going to be super competitive. Seahawks are just the Seahawks. And, I think we're trying to take anything away from week one, new offensive coordinator, coming from the Rams system. I forget his name, but you saw some of that Shanahan style offense, play action, playing into Russ's strengths here in a good way, more structure than maybe we've seen in the past from the Seahawks offense. And I think that'll bode well over the course of the season. Defense still a concern for me. How good is it actually? Is it going to be Russell Wilson carrying them into wins, or can the defense contribute to some of these victories? And that to me is going to be the difference between 10 or 11 wins and 13-14 Super Bowl contender. So I'm kind of hedging my bets here by saying 11-6. Obviously I think they're going to be a solid team, and Russ sleeper for the MVP, as he was last year. Narrative award, there's nobody better for it. He's proven year in and year out that he's one of the best guys. So
yeah, absolutely.
I didn't have Seattle winning the division, but I did have the Los Angeles Rams winning this division at 13-4. And I was bullish on the Rams in May, in our way too early season predictions. I had them winning the Super Bowl, in fact, in those way too early predictions. And I'm still pretty confident in the Rams. They gave me no reason to doubt after the week one performance. Matt Stafford looked excellent. Defense solid as always. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, those are the two best defensive players in the league probably, and they're on the same defense. So that's kind of nice. That helps. And then you have Sean McVay on the other side. No matter what that running back situation looks like, even without Cam Akers, I'm pretty confident the Rams are going to be able to get it done in the regular season and put themselves in a position to be a Super Bowl contender in the NFC.
Look, I had them at 11-6 and actually third in the division.
Okay. So we just swapped the Seahawks and Rams here on us. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, and so in my preseason predictions, I had only two teams making it out of the NFC West.
I'm fully on board with you making all four teams making it. I think that's a very real possibility. But I had the Rams making it at the 11-6, or now I have the Rams making the playoffs at 11-6. Look, Matthew Stafford gets a chance to go out and win. He gets a chance to go out and not just show off his arm talent, which we've all seen, but that he's also a winner. And he has that opportunity with all the weapons that he has to throw to, a great offensive line, a great defense to show for it, and he's playing for Sean McVay. So, it's got to be the Rams. They're gonna, they're gonna have a successful year. 11-6 in a playoff team is definitely realistic.
Yeah. Okay. So we've pointed out the first place, third place team. I know we have the same second place team, the San Francisco 49ers, huh?
Yes.
We're both catching the resurgence of the Niners. 6-10 last year due to injuries. Depleted by injuries last year. Every notable player basically they had was out, missed some time. I had the Niners going 11-6, but winning the tiebreaker and ending up as the number two seed, obviously a wild card team, 5 seed in the wild card there for the Niners. I think this is just going to be a successful season. I mean, if they're healthy last year, they win 10 games. I mean, it's as simple as that. We know what this team is. They just made a Super Bowl a couple years ago. I don't think we're going to see much of Trey Lance other than how we saw him in week one, which is the quota. You can call it the little Taysom Hill, the little wildcat quarterback, however sort of trickery they're going to use him. That's how we'll see Trey Lance. They're going to let Jimmy G be the guy unless he proves that he can't, keep up that high level of play. And I think they're going to roll into the playoffs as a very good defense and an offense that can attack in multiple ways, just as we saw a couple of years ago. And how they fare in the playoffs compared to other teams, who knows? That the sort of ceiling at quarterback is that one doubt for me. When you're putting him against Stafford, Rodgers, Brady, Russell Wilson, hard to bet on Jimmy Garoppolo. But the team is very solid. Kyle Shanahan is an excellent coach. If this defense could get back to top five levels, it's going to be a scary team in the NFC.
Well, that's the big thing is they're coming back healthy. They were beat up by injuries last year. And Jimmy G on Sunday looked like a passer, looked like an NFL caliber passer for the first time in a while, I feel like. I mean, I feel like he's been kind of a game manager. But he throws for over 300 for the first time. And I don't know how long it's been since we've seen Jimmy G throw for over 300. This is a 12-5 team. I got him as a 5 seed in my way too early. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with that prediction. Again, a 3-3 record in the division. That's going to be a really tough division to play in. This is a very well put together team. Kyle Shanahan is a very capable head coach. We've seen that. He's been to a Super Bowl. Not just as a head coach, but also as an offensive coordinator. The run game of the San Francisco 49ers is going to be as unpredictable as ever when you have 5 guys that could go off for 100 yards anytime.
No Raheem Mostert, no problem. It's Kyle Shanahan. We've seen what he's done with running backs. It could be me running the ball back there, and I'd be 20 for 112 and 2 touchdowns.
They made Jamichael Hasty look like a Pro Bowl.
Right. I mean Elijah Mitchell, right? The rookie this last week, 100 yards on the ground. Raheem Mostert's out for the season, announced today. He's having surgery. They drafted Trey Sermon, the running back out of Ohio State. When he's healthy, which he wasn't last week, he'll certainly take over. But I like you said, I don't think it matters who's back there running the ball. They're going to have success. That's what he's proven in his time as a coordinator and as a head coach for the Niners. So no reason to doubt the running game and the offensive abilities for the Niners, despite the injury to their starting running back.
Right. Yeah. So. No, health is the big thing. Last year, I called him the San Francisco 39ers because you weren't sure what 10 guys are going to be hurt this week.
I think that was about their active roster last year.
They might have had 39 healthy guys. Yeah. Niners would be just fine. Okay.
We're both on board there. The final team in the division, Arizona Cardinals. And I had them going 9-8, Mitch, 9-8 for the Arizona Cardinals, 2-4 in the division. And still making a wild card there as the 7 seed. And I think it's, if you were high on the Cardinals going into this year, week one was an encouraging sign. The offense, Kyler Murray looked incredible. The offense looked powerful. And really the defense, Mitch, the defense, I mean, Chandler Jones, what do you have? 5 sacks? He was everywhere. Chandler Jones, JJ Watt on either side of the ball is going to cause real problems for any offensive line that faces them. Cause you have
Isaiah
to focus
Simmons
on
Simmons looked fantastic.
You got to focus on one of those guys. And then in the backfield, Zaven Collins, the rookie linebacker out of Tulsa, and then Isaiah Simmons. I mean, that front seven is suddenly super scary, and their defense, their secondary has questions, no doubt. But if your front seven can be strong enough, it can make up for the weaknesses on the back end. And that's going to be the formula for the Cardinals. It worked in week one. Will it work over the course of the season? Time will tell, but so far, great sign for the Cardinals. I think they're well on the way to competing for a wild card spot. So 9-8, they sort of edge it out here in the wild card, but that would be a fantastic year for a guy in Cliff Kingsbury who honestly, Mitch, is probably on the hot seat. I mean, if they don't get things done, if they don't get over 500, make a wild card, I mean, he might be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this team is going to be scary. This offensively, they're going to be scary. And then you bring up the defense. The front seven is just fantastic. Cliff Kingsbury it's a show me season for Cliff Kingsbury. Can the air raid offense, can your philosophy work at this level? I'm confident it can. I had him 10-7. Shockingly last in that division.
Right.
But now I'm on board with them being a playoff team. So,
yep.
You know, I had him 7-10 before and are way too early, but now, yeah, 10-7. I think I'm going with the conservative bet here. This is going to be a fantastic team. This is going to be a really, if nothing else, a fun team, because Kyler Murray is Mike Vick 2.0.
Kyler's awesome. 2.0. And I hope this is really the breakout year that I think people hoped or expected last season, right? There was all that buzz, the Kyler Murray MVP coming off of Lamar Jackson's stellar year. Kyler's going to be the next young quarterback to emerge and really dominate. And we didn't really see that last year. At times, you know, they were an 8-8 team, up and down, had a chance at the playoffs at the end of the year, couldn't get wins to sort of solidify their spot. I think this might be the year. After falling short last season, come back motivated, try to play even better. They've added weapons, AJ Green on the offensive side, JJ Watt on the defensive side. Things could be good for the Cardinals. We'll see. But all right, that's it for the NFC. Mitch, we've gone through each team here. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we will dive in to the AFC teams. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Thanks for checking out the Sports Hour today. We appreciate you wherever you're listening, but if you haven't already, we recommend you check us out and give us a listen on Anchor.
Anchor allows us to provide the best product to you. You can go support the Sports Hour and become a permanent part of the show, like my saint of a mother, Sammy, and my father, David, did.
You can even leave us voice messages with your thoughts and opinions that we can use on the show. Prove to us that you know better than me and Mitchmo.
Moral of the story, people, be more like Sammy and David. Go find us at anchor.fm/thesportshour, guys, and become a part of the conversation. What the hell are you waiting for? Welcome back to the Sports Hour with Mitchmo and Dallin. We just went through the NFC, our little NFL preview. We're going to get now into the AFC. And let's just keep it rolling down. Start in the same order that we – or keep with the same order that we started with and started the AFC North.
Okay. Yeah. AFC North. Steelers won this division last year, 12-4. Three playoff teams from the AFC North a season ago, Steelers, Ravens, and Cleveland Browns. Mitch, I'm going to go ahead and assume we both don't have the Steelers repeating as AFC North champs.
No.
So
they were the fakest 12-4 team of all time, by the
100%.
Way.
I knew it all year. Just want to say that. Okay. So then who do you have winning this division?
So I think the popular pick right now would be the Ravens. I think probably the consensus would be the Ravens as of maybe a couple months ago. Give me the Brownies. Give me the Brownies winning the division the first time since 1999. They take it home. I started them off at 14-3. I was super high on them, super high on the Browns. Cool down a little bit, Mitch. That was May. This is now September. Give me 12-5 division winners. I'm going to stick with 5-1 in the division because I think that they are better. I think maybe they split with the Ravens, but they're definitely better than the Steelers, and they're definitely better than the Ravens or the Bengals. Excuse me. Baker Mayfield doesn't have to be putting up MVP caliber numbers to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. All he has to do is do what he did last year and lead those Browns. The run game is exceptional with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. The defense is stupid good. Stupid good. And I have a hot take right now as we get into this NFC North. The Browns' loss was more impressive than the Steelers' win this last week when they lost by 4 to the Chiefs, the Steelers beating the Bills. This Browns team took that Chiefs team to the fourth quarter, led until the fourth quarter. They had some tough breaks there at the end. Obviously you're not going to pick against the Chiefs. That was a tough loss for them, but that was an impressive loss for me that this Browns team can't compete with the elite class of not just the AFC, but the NFL. Got to give me the Brownies winning this division.
You know, I love it, Mitch. I'm very high on the Browns this year. I agree with you on your take there. I thought the Browns very impressive. You know, it was a very similar game to their divisional playoff round game earlier this year, where the Browns were really in control. And then the Chiefs happened. And guess what? The Chiefs happen a lot. And when they happen, there's nothing you could do about it. Patrick Mahomes and that team is just going to get a win. And that's what happened in the playoffs. It's what happened in week one. But that is a positive sign. That means what you built upon last year, now you're moving forward. Now you've raised the bar for yourself and for the quality of play on your team. Great sign for Cleveland. I did not have them winning the division. Had the second 11-6 playoff team, obviously. But I am going with Baltimore to win the division at 12-5 in a close division race here. Probably coming down to that final week. I think for Baltimore, I think for me, it's just a matter of trust. You mentioned the date, the last time Cleveland won a division, for that and many, you know, for that is enough reason for me to not pick the Browns to win the division if I was, you know, going to bet money and invest into that. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. I definitely think the Browns could win it. I do think it'll be close, but this Ravens team is going to be good. Besides Monday night, a tough loss to Vegas and what was just a wild game. I think the Ravens are going to be all right. It's a solid team on both sides of the ball, well coached. Lamar Jackson, he's gonna be Lamar Jackson, and when Lamar Jackson's on, there's not really much you can do about it. Can you keep it on full time? Will the running game get figured out with as many injuries as they've had? My guy Tyson, the BYU legend, Tyson Williams, played in 3.5 games as a BYU Cougar, and he was my favorite player. Gets his shot, and I loved to see that. Is he the guy? Is it Latavius Murray? Who the hell? I don't think it matters, Mitch. I'm kind of with, like, the way we felt about the Niners. I don't think it matters who the running back is behind Lamar Jackson there. That run game is going to be great because that's just what they do well. As long as that they do that well, they're going to be able to win games. So Baltimore 12-5, Cleveland 11-6. I'm right there with you on Cleveland, but I'm going to take the Ravens to win the division here.
So for as far as the Browns goes, it has to be a I'll believe it when I see it type deal.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of
solid team. Totally don't get me wrong. You know.
And you're totally justified to do that because I'm on the same boat with the Cowboys. Like, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, they just have not shown me it. So I'm with you on that. I have the Ravens finishing second at 11-6.
Right.
And I really think that. For the Ravens, it comes down to one thing. I'm with you. Lamar Jackson's super talented. Okay. I mean, one of the greatest athletes overall the NFL has seen ever, right? I mean, just athletic ability. The guy is off the charts. His arm is still in question for me. And I think if the Ravens want to be successful, especially with how banged up their backfield is, They have to open up the playbook. Lamar's legs can take you only so far. The arm has to come in at some point. And we haven't seen a whole lot of Lamar's arm. I mean, we've seen plenty of Lamar's arm, but we haven't seen it really the way an NFL quarterback usually operates when it comes to being able to push the ball down the field and throw the ball 40 times a game, complete 70% of your passes. We haven't seen that out of Lamar Jackson. We've seen what he's done when he's under pressure and he gets out of the pocket, and that's fantastic and just great. But the playbook has to open up. The Ravens lost this game on Monday night to the Ravens, and they were 81-0 under John Harbaugh when leading by 14 points going into the fourth quarter. 81-0. They continued to run the football. They have to open up the playbook more for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has to get better at throwing in the pocket and outside of the pocket. They're still a playoff team for me. They're still a very good team for me. 11-6. That's great. I just don't buy that they're going to be as successful as the Browns throughout the duration of the regular season because Lamar has not they haven't opened up the playbook for him and have him use his arm. And I don't think his arm is quite there yet.
Yeah. You know, I disagree principally with you, as far as like Lamar needing to throw the ball as much. I don't think Lamar should be throwing it 40 times a game at all. I think if they're doing that, they're losing, and that's not good. I think they can win with him not throwing the ball that many times. I did think he looked pretty good in the pocket last night. Now, both of his tackles were getting absolutely destroyed by Max Crosby and others last night against the Raiders. So that doesn't help, but I think there is a balance there. And I think we saw some of it last night. Not a lot of targets for Mark Andrews, which is curious. I mean, that has been a guy for him, and tight end always a nice safety valve. Marquise Brown much more involved last night, which is a good sign for, you know, fantasy owners and just the wide receiver group in general, which has struggled in Baltimore. So, you know, this is a tell it year. I think you're going to have to see some progression from Lamar Jackson if this team's going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And, one game, mixed results, I guess, if you will, looked pretty good for a minute. A couple costly fumbles for Lamar Jackson certainly doesn't help, but both these teams, Baltimore and Cleveland, will be fighting for this division lead at the end of the season. Obviously, both are playoff teams, and we're pretty much right there on both of those teams. As far as third place in this division goes, I have the Cincinnati Bengals finishing third and going 7-10, which I feel like is kind of good for the Bengals. I don't know. I mean, like, they were 4-11-1 last year. I think things looked pretty good in week one. Joe Burrow, if healthy, this offense, they're going to be able to move the ball. The defense, not very good. Offensive line struggled, but Cincinnati's going to be a sneaky team, going to stick around some games. I'm going 7-10 for the Bengals. That's probably a solid season after what they experienced in 2020.
So I have the Bengals finishing last, 5-12. It's not a knock on the guy, but Joe Burrow just didn't have a full year. He just didn't have a full year. They have the receiver core there. They have T. Higgins. They have Auden Tate. They have Tyler Boyd. Joe Mixon running the football. They have.
You're going to mention Auden Tate over Jamar Chase, the number 5 pick in the draft, Mitch.
Jamar Chase looked great in week one.
I love it. No, you
look great in week one.
You look great. Shout out to Auden Tate. I love it. No, go ahead.
Sorry. What do you want me to do? Joe's still got to show me something. And it's not by any of his fault. He just got hurt. I have the Steelers finishing third, missing the playoffs 9-8.
9-8. Okay. That's pretty good.
That's probably a ceiling. That's probably a ceiling pick. They're just, it's a team that is going to have a fantastic defense. The offense is going to be the question. Outside of those two previous teams, the Browns and the Ravens, to me, there's not a whole lot to talk about here. Just because it's either a prove it situation or it's a, well, can you salvage what little bit you have left?
Right. Yeah. No. And I think for the Bengals, it's going to be about the offense. How good can that offense really be? If it's really, really good, maybe they're a little bit better than we expect. For the Steelers, if that defense we know is solid, as long as they're healthy, that's going to be a top 10 defense. How good is the offense going to be? How good is Big Ben? That's going to be the question. I had the Steelers 5-12, Mitch, last in the division. I'm very low on the Steelers, as I was last year. And they obviously were better last year than I projected, but they turned out to be, you know, maybe a little overrated for what their ultimate record was. They sort of fell apart at the end of the year. I'm just not going to bet on the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger at this stage. I think the defense is great, and maybe the defense keeps them 7, 8, 9 wins because of how good it is. Absolutely. Could definitely happen. I'm kind of counting on like a Steelers collapse here in my 5-12. So I'm going to say 5-12 for the Steelers, recognizing that's probably the low end here, and would put them in a great position to maybe draft the quarterback of the future with a top 10 defense and some decent weapons around him, and boom, all of a sudden could turn this thing around real quick. So I'm 100% though, the teams to watch in this: Cleveland, Baltimore, going to be a fun race for the division lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to the AFC South. Last season, Titans and Colts both made the playoffs at 11-5. Titans won the division. Mitch, I have those two teams again fighting for the top of this division in 2021. I went with the Colts here to win the division at 9-8. I had the Titans also at 9-8, but the Colts beat them out in a tiebreaker to win the division. I think the Colts and their defense and their ability to run the ball is going to ultimately put them over the top of the Tennessee Titans. I think Tennessee, we're sort of overlooking the impact of losing Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, because he really is the key to the success of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. And now he's gone. And we're just sort of assuming that the guy who takes over is just going to, you know, do all those same things, and it's going to look the same. I'm not of that belief in Tennessee. I think things will get a little bit worse for them. So both teams 9-8, but I'm going to take the Colts to win the AFC South.
I took the Colts as well as 10-7.
Okay.
I was a little bit hot on them in May. I think I was calling it full Carson Wentz comeback, and I said 13-4.
And that was pre-injury, though, to give you some credit here. You know, he was healthy at that point.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, 10-7 seems more realistic. The Titans, I have it second. 9-8, they weren't impressive at all against Arizona. And that might be just the fact that they were playing a stellar front seven. And you know what Tennessee does? They like to run the football. And Ryan Tannehill is a – competent passer, but not a super impressive passer. I think that the loss of Arthur Smith actually showed. It really did show. So yeah, give me the Colts to still win this division at 10-7. Titans fighting for a wild card at 9-8. Just not super high on this division as a whole.
For sure. I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, I had both the top two teams of the division at 9-8, 10-7, 9-8 for you. Obviously it's going to be tough. Let's talk about the bottom two in the AFC South. I do have Jacksonville in third. I don't think either of us are going to be bullish on the Houston Texans, despite a great week one. Don't get me wrong, they looked great. Tyrod Taylor, you know, whatever. But I had the Jags at 5-12. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay. Yeah, you know, rough debut, whatever, 3 picks. I don't really care. It was a bad game. I don't think that roster is really that good. I think we sort of overhyped how good that Jags team could be. And the sort of infusion of Urban Meyer from the college ranks, how good was that actually going to look in week one and in season one? I'm not that bullish. So I'm going 5-12 in what should be a tough year for the Jags, but I think you'll see some moments, some things to be excited about, especially with Trevor Lawrence, and hopefully that bleeds into the future for them. So Jags 5-12, Texans 2-15, because they're a very bad team. Nothing to say about them.
Yeah. Jags 4-13, Texans 1-16. They got their
1-16. So they got their win already.
Yeah, they're done. They're doomed. They're doing what the Jags did, where they
exactly. So
they got their win week one and they lost 15 in a row. Yeah, they did exactly.
Except
that.
For this time, 16 in a row. I love it, Mitch. What a bold prediction. This team loses 16 straight games. It definitely could happen. Yeah, I kind of hope it does. All right. Okay. That's it for the AFC South. Let's go to the AFC East.
Go ahead and hit pause. I got to hit the bathroom real quick.
All right. Let's go to the AFC East. This division last season won by the Buffalo Bills, 13-3. Only one playoff team from this division a year ago with the Dolphins, despite 10-6 record, did not make the playoffs. Mitch, I had two playoff teams from the division this year. I had the order the same as the season ago, and I have both the Bills and the Dolphins making the playoffs. Bills winning the division, 12-5 this year for Buffalo. So maybe a bit of regression. I don't think things look as sharp as they did last year, but obviously still a very good team. 12-5 for Buffalo, 10-7 for Miami, making the playoffs with another 10-win season. Things looked good in week one. I think Tua is going to get even better over the course of the season. I'm high on both of those teams, but Buffalo repeating as division champs here in the AFC East.
Yeah, so I was exceptionally high on the Bills in May. I had them at 16-1. Which was,
that's a bit high.
That's a little spicy. That's a little spicy for my liking. Let's take this down to about jalapeno spiciness and not habanero spiciness and just go 14-3. This is still clearly the best team in this division and one of the best teams, not just in the conference, but in all of football. I think one of the big knocks on them that we can continually gave them was the run game. Can Devin Singletary and Zach Moss figure it out? Still not super confident in that. But after this week one loss to Pittsburgh, I'm still not changing on how well I feel about Josh Allen and the rest of the offense and Sean McDermott's ability to lead a winner. I'm going to knock them down to 14-3 and still winning that division.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, not much to say about the Bills here other than I think a lot of repeated success here. Defense is solid. Sean McDermott, as you mentioned, one of the best coaches, or the best young coaches in the NFL and definitely emerging in that regard. Run game will be a question. Does the offense become one dimensional in the playoffs is going to be the ultimate factor because if they do, they can be beat. But obviously going to be a successful regular season team. Did you have Miami making the playoffs? And if not, did you have another playoff team? What was second place in this division?
Oh, I had Miami. Miami at 11-6. Yeah.
Okay. So we're both on board there. Both playoff teams. I think for Miami, again, defense going to be a strength under Brian Flores, their head coach. It's going to depend on how good Tua looks as the full-time starter this year. They've added weapons on the offense in Jalen Waddle, and he already had an impact in week one. I think that will continue for the Dolphins. So I think we're sort of right on the same page there with Miami, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to go to the next. Unless you had anything else to say on the Dolphins.
No, I just think we're going to be in the same order here for the rest of the division.
New England, Pats,
and then New York, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So New England. This is interesting. Mac Jones, rookie starter week one, presumably, you know, health otherwise, starter throughout the season. How good does this team look with a rookie quarterback? I had them at 8-9, and honestly, that feels too high. When I think about Mac Jones as a rookie quarterback starting the NFL, now it is Bill Belichick in the Patriots system. And if anyone can look competent early in that, you know, rookie quarterback, that this is probably a good spot to be in. So 8-9, I couldn't get them over 500. The defense is going to be solid. The offense still has many questions for me. They added a lot of pass catchers in the offseason, how it all shakes out, who Mac Jones likes to target, you know, how good the run game is with Damian Harris. There's still question marks here, some unknowns, which is why they sort of ended up in that middle, that 8-9 floating range of like, I don't really know where they're going to be, but I don't think this is a playoff team with a rookie quarterback. I still think it's a competent team, a team that's going to be competitive in most of their games. I had them as a better division record than Miami. 4-2 in the division, 2-4. I had Miami in the division. And yet beside that, they still, you know, couldn't get to 500. So New England should be competitive, could be, you know, fighting for that final wild card spot potentially, but I had 8-9.
Yeah, I had 7-10. I had them 1-5 in the division. I think they'll split with the Jets, and I don't think they now they sniffed a win against Miami.
Yeah,
but I
gave
that
Belichick
a
lot of credit there, I think, for the division is kind of how that went out. And, knowing who you're game planning against.
And you know what? You should give Bill Belichick a lot of credit there. I don't think that's absurd. You just, with the rookie quarterback, the weapons not getting really better around the quarterback position. Damian Harris looked pretty good. Looks like he's starting to emerge as a competent NFL running back. The defense under Belichick, no matter, you know, where he's at, it's going to be a good defense. That's a defensive minded guy. But yeah, 7-10. And then I had the Jets at, I was pretty low on them, 2-15. And I think it's because I wasn't necessarily a Zach Wilson guy post draft. But Zach has showed a lot of great skills that an NFL quarterback should possess. I'm going to bump him up 2 wins and go 4-13. Not a successful season by any means for the New York Jets, but I think it'll be a good growth year for Zach Wilson.
For sure. And I, you know, the Jets aren't looking for playoffs. They're not even looking for 500. They're looking for competency across the board, a level of adequacy. I had the Jets going 6-11 this year. You know, I think Robert Saleh is going to be able to do things with this defense that makes it better than it is on paper, right? On paper, this should be what, like probably a bottom 5 defense in the league, but they might end up as a top 20 unit just because Robert Saleh and his influence there. So I think the defense might play above expectations. I think Zach Wilson is going to have games where he's going to win them games. And he's also going to lose them games with his play style, with his aggressiveness. He believes he can make every throw. And that's what makes him special is a lot of times he does. Sometimes he doesn't. He's a little risky with how bad that offensive line is. And now the injury to Mekhi Becton, it's going to be really tough for that offense to do a lot. He's going to need time in the Shanahan system to get the ball out, to find those open routes. He's not going to have a lot of it. The running backs looked awful in week 1 against Carolina. Can they get some consistent running game to help out the rookie quarterback? All that aside, it's going to be a rough season for the Jets, but there's going to be glimmers of hope. The defense is going to be a solid unit. Zach Wilson's going to show that potential in year 1. And hopefully, you know, for in their sake, they're building towards a bright future.
Yeah. Big Robert Saleh guy over here.
Yeah. So. We're big fans of him, absolutely. So, final division, Mitch, AFC West. Obviously, the Chiefs won the AFC West a season ago, 14-2, only playoff team from the division. I have 2 playoff teams in the AFC West this season, Mitch. I do have the Chiefs repeating as division winners, 13-4. No questions here. They got better everywhere they needed to this offseason, I think. Especially along the offensive line. And I think it's just going to be another year of dominance for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So 13-4 for Kansas City. I don't have much else to say there.
Yeah, I had 15-2. And that doesn't seem too high, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, this team has retained a lot of what they've had over the last few years. They're still relevant. Andy Reid's still at the helm. Tough to pick against them. 15-2 seems just about right. Only playoff team out of this division, by the way. And I will say that I think that this is probably based, and this is little week 1 overreaction. This might be the second most competitive division other than the NFC West.
Really? So that's interesting.
And not necessarily the best.
You only have 1 playoff team.
Yeah, and not necessarily the best, but I think in the end, it'll be the most competitive. So I'm not saying that there's going to be multiple playoff teams coming out of here, but I'm saying that they'll compete with each other really, really well. And maybe that's just the 3 below the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs will have to put up with some tough games with like Las Vegas and LA and even Denver. But ultimately there is only one team coming out of this division, or maybe there's a second one that sniffs it.
Okay. So. Well, so I had two, and that second team I had is the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going to be in on the Chargers here. 11-6, the sixth seed in the wild card here for Los Angeles. And you know, I think, for me, it's just a matter of health, really. If this team can stay healthy, especially on defense, which they've struggled so much with, Joey Bosa, Derwin James, we know what this defense is capable of if it could just stay healthy. They added, you know, talent like Asante Samuel in the draft this offseason. I think they could be really special on that side of the ball. And then you go on to the offense, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, all those weapons for Justin Herbert, an improved offensive line. You added Corey Linsley, a great center, Pro Bowl center for your young quarterback. He's not going to be as good as he was last year. And I think they'll be a better team despite it, because the team around him is better. The defense can play better. So I'm going to buy in on the Chargers being a wild card team. Now, I think in the offseason, there was a lot of Herbert makes a leap, they're going to be contenders in the AFC. That's a year, probably 2 years too early here. But I think they're going to be a good team, and I think they're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, and I was critical of the Brandon Staley hiring at first. That's a smart football guy. I think he knows what he's doing. I've changed my opinion on the Chargers just a little bit as well. I had them originally at 8-9. I'm going to adjust that to 10-7 and competing for the wild card. Probably with Miami and Tennessee kind of competing with that final wild card spot. But like for all the reasons you just said, there's plenty of weapons on the offensive side for Justin Herbert, and that defense with now a newly healthy Derwin James. They still got Joey Bosa over there. This is going to be a team that should be pretty competent and pretty good. They'll be an exciting team to watch.
And you mentioned Brandon Staley and what he did last year with that Rams defense. You have to hope that if he can replicate some degree of that with this defense, which has not the top end, not Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, but hey, Joey Bosa and Derwin James, that's a hell of a combo as well, and better across the board, in my opinion, on defense outside of those top two players. So I, you know, not saying they're going to be a top three defense with Brandon Staley, but there could be a huge leap if he really is this sort of defensive savant who understands the game and can bring that out of this unit. So we'll see. I mean, that's projection here, but should be a competitive team nonetheless. So we both had them second in the AFC East. Raiders third in this division. I think the Raiders are going to be competitive. I had 9-8 for the Raiders, who went 8-8 last year, so about the same record. I think Monday night was pretty indicative of what they're going to be. Competitive in most of their games. Can do a lot on offense, especially through the air. When they let Derek Carr sling it all over the field, you know, I think they can hang. The defense, the pass rush was there. The back end is going to be a question for me in the secondary. If teams can really attack them in the passing game, they're going to struggle. Now, Baltimore, that's not their game. That's not what they want to do. So good matchup for the Raiders there. But when they play the Chargers, when they play the Chiefs twice a year, they're going to be able to exploit a weaker secondary there. So the Raiders 9-8, I think they'll compete. They may even make a wild card. It wouldn't shock me if they were a playoff team this year and snuck into a wild card spot. I have them missing out, but they should be a team that's sort of right there this season.
Yeah. I had them third as well. And I actually even went to the ceiling projection, which is 10-7 for me.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that they lose that based off the Chargers head to head stuff. Or even just an outright divisional record, they lose that too. But you know, Monday night, that team's defense, I'm not even a Raiders fan, and I was proud of the Raiders defense for the way they showed up against Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, they played the pass rush definitely is an issue for them, with Max Crosby, and even Carl Nassib came up with a big play there.
100%.
So, you know, just this team is going to be competitive. They're going to be competitive. Now, are they division winner competitors? Absolutely not. That's the Chiefs. They're running away with this one. But could they sneak into a wild card? Absolutely. And they may be one of those kind of sneaky, tough teams if they get into a wild card where, you know, the matchup's right and they're able to get to the quarterback and the same thing happens that we saw on Monday night. So give them, you know, I'll take the ceiling bet on them, 10-7, right there up there with the Chargers, but third in that division. So they may sneak in as a sneaky third team out of this division to get into the playoffs.
Okay. And then the final team, Denver here. I'm not very high on the Broncos. We sort of discussed this before we got in the pod here, but I think this defense, there's a lot of hope that this defense could be really good. And if it is a top 10 unit and Teddy Bridgewater can be average, above average Teddy Bridgewater, then there is potential for this team to be a 8-9-9-8, potentially, you know, flirting around that wild card spot, depending on how the seventh spot shakes out. I'm not going to bet on that. I'm going 5-12 for the Broncos because someone's going to lose in this division, right? There's two. We just talked about the three talented teams ahead of them. And I don't think the Broncos are in that same tier. So I'm going below. I can see the sort of scenario where they play better than that. I know a lot of people sort of talking up Denver like that, but I have my doubts about how good Teddy Bridgewater actually is, how good that run game can actually be. And if the defense really steps up to that level, I don't know. So I'm going 5-12, pretty low on the Broncos this year, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, the defense speaks for itself. It's talented. On paper, the offense looks talented as well. I just have my doubts about it. I was pretty low on them. I had them at 3-14 in May.
Wow. Yeah.
Which was, and because I was right there with you, I just wasn't high on the Broncos, but I am going to bump them up actually a significant amount. Let's say, let's go with the 7-8 route, you know, 7-8 win.
Okay.
I can't say that there's going to be four winning record teams in the AFC West. That's just not going to happen, but 7-10 seems likely for me and they'll compete and they'll hang around in games, but you know, there's nothing special that's going to come out of that.
Sure. Sure. All right, Mitch, that's it for the AFC. That's it for the NFC. Let's get into sort of playoff Super Bowl here. So I want you to give me the conference championship game from each conference, the winner of that game going to the Super Bowl. So the final two teams in each conference, we'll go over that. And then finally, our Super Bowl pick. So let's start with the AFC since we've been flirting around in the AFC here. I'll go first. AFC championship game, I've got Chiefs and Ravens, and I'm taking the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. Chiefs can't get three in a row. Too tough. Too many things have to go right there. Someone else is going to emerge, and I'm picking the Ravens to do that out of the AFC.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think we've only seen one team ever go more than two trips to the Super Bowl back to back, and that was the early 90s Bills,
and that didn't go well for them.
So with that being said, give me the Bills and the Browns in the AFC championship game, and give me the Buffalo Bills to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1994, representing the AFC.
I like it. That's great. Okay, we both picking different here in the AFC. Ravens for me, Bills for Mitch. Let's go to the NFC, Mitch. I've got Packers, third year in a row in the NFC championship game. Different opponent this time. It's not the Niners. It's not the Bucks. It's the Los Angeles Rams. Stafford, Rodgers, NFC North reunion. And Rodgers gets it done this time and gets to the Super Bowl. Packers representing the NFC with the Ravens in the AFC.
A lot of people would like to say, give me the Buccaneers. I think that's probably the favorite. Obviously, they just came off a Super Bowl victory. But how many teams do we know that have won back-to-back Super Bowls? Not many. I'm not taking the Bucs here. But I will take the Bucks to go to the NFC title game. Give me the Bucks and give me the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, giving us a Seahawks-Bills matchup
Wow.
In the Super Bowl.
Are you trying to take the title of favorite son from my parents here by picking the Seahawks to go to the Super Bowl?
No, when it comes to sons, because Kayla's obviously the favorite. When it comes to children, I am obviously their fourth favorite. I understand that. And I'm not even trying to compete for favorite Mitchell.
You could. I think that's probably open up for grabs.
I'm not even close. But yeah, give me Seahawks.
Hey, listen, Russell Wilson. I mean, hey, I love it. I love it, Mitch. I love the boldness. Bills, Seahawks, let's go. Okay, let's start with you then. Super Bowl pick. Who's winning it all in 2022 at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, California?
A defensive matchup. Two great defenses. A young emerging quarterback, multifaceted, against the veteran quarterback, Russell Wilson, multifaceted. But the Buffalo Bills, for the first time in franchise history, get a Super Bowl. Give me the Buffalo Bills winning the Super Bowl in SoFi Stadium come this February.
I love it. I love it, Mitch. Great pick. My matchup, Packers, Ravens, two great, strong defenses. A veteran quarterback versus a young emerging quarterback. The veteran, multifaceted. The young quarterback, Lamar Jackson, multifaceted.
But I love multifaceted is my new favorite term. I love that.
Sorry. I heard you describe it. I was like, yeah, I could describe my do the same way. But I said this earlier. This is the Aaron Rodgers flipping the bird to Green Bay on his way out with a Super Bowl victory. It's not going to be a repeat MVP, though I do believe statistically he could probably be in the argument for it, but back-to-back MVP is hard to do, so he won't get the votes. But a Super Bowl victory for the Green Bay Packers, and he and Devontae Adams will move on into the Las Vegas Raiders in the offseason of 2022, and it'll be a new era with Jordan Love in Green Bay. But give me the Packers over the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So there we go. That is the NFL season.
These picks feel spicy.
It's exciting stuff. It's exciting stuff. Obviously just look forward to you know, seeing it all unfold over the course of the season. Mitch, before we go, we'd be remiss if we did not give some quick picks. It's that time of year again. It's time to get back in this. I lost the quick picks last season. My punishment was Mitch got to make me say whatever he wanted on the podcast. I said some foolish things. He made me refer to myself as Professor, what was it? PP Fingers?
Yeah, Professor PP Fingers.
I had to, delegitimize the World Series victory from my beloved Los Angeles Dodgers. Like it was like,
and there
was
the Lakers.
And the Lakers. There was a lot of, there were some rough times there, but I'm glad to be out of it and hoping to redeem myself here in 2021. Mitch, let's start this off with Thursday night football.
Thursday night football. We got the New York Giants. They're headed to the nation's capital to take on the football team, which hopefully will by the beginning of next year might have a better name than the football team. That's what we're banking on. But regardless of name or not, give me the Washington football team to take this win at home against the New York Giants. Just a much better team than the Giants are. Giants are crap. Give me the football team.
Daniel Jones, 3 turnovers in this Thursday night game. It's going to be a rough one. Give me the football team. Riverboat Ron. All right.
By the way, over under for that, football team favored by 3.5 there. So for you betting people,
I take the over. I'm taking the over.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Over under at 41. Football team minus 3.5. So.
Okay. All right. Next matchup here: the Las Vegas Raiders traveling to the city of Three Rivers. I butched that. Pittsburghians.
Three Rivers Stadium is the old stadium.
Well, I was trying to say the city. I was the city of Three Rivers. I don't know how you call it. Anyway,
They're going to the big ketchup bottle over there.
Yeah. The city in Pennsylvania that no one actually visits, Pittsburgh. I've got the Raiders in this one. Coming off a big Monday night win, feeling hyped. Let's get to 2-0, John Gruden. All right.
Defense looked pretty good against the Ravens. Pittsburgh still, I mean, they played a tough defense in Buffalo, but that offense is pretty anemic. Give me the Raiders at home or on the road in the big ketchup bottle in Pittsburgh. Following that game, we have the San Francisco 49ers. They are leaving the Bay Area and headed over to the city of brotherly love to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Give me the Niners on the road. I love this Niners team. I think they're going to have a very successful season behind the arm of Jimmy Garoppolo and that brand new, healthy, shiny new defense. Give me the San Francisco 49ers on the road.
Yeah, I'm with you here on San Francisco. That game against Detroit got closer at the end than it really was. Garbage time points for the Lions to sort of make it competitive. But San Francisco really dominated. And I expect a similar level of dominance this weekend. So Niners over Eagles. I'm with you there. The Pennsylvania teams 0-2 at home this week. Mitch, we're heading to Cleveland, the best city in Ohio. The Browns.
Yeah. Believe land.
Taking on the Houston Texans. There's no way in hell I'm picking the Texans to win a single game this year in the picks. I can't do it. I know they're going to win, you know, some games. I'm not going to pick them to do it. Give me the Browns.
No, now I can't do it because I said they're going 1-16.
You're right, yeah.
So, yeah, give me the Brownies. Give me the Brownies. Let's go dog pound. Get that city hyped. I'm all about Believe land now. I mean, honestly, after a little bit of a soul searching, Cincinnati does suck way more than Cleveland. So following that game, Denver, they're leaving Mile High to head where, Dallin?
The swamps of Jacksonville.
They're headed to the swamps of Jacksonville to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, the swamps are dry right now. It's a wasteland in Jacksonville. Give me the Broncos on the road in Jacksonville.
I'm taking the Broncos as well. Tough debut for Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. I think it's going to be a rough start for them. Denver's defense looks solid. It'll be enough to get it done here. Denver on the road over the Jags. We're right in lockstep there, Mitch.
We are.
All right. NFC South matchup. My Carolina Panthers, Bank of America Stadium, taking on Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. The Saints have had 8 personnel players who have contracted COVID and joined the COVID list. 6 coaches, a player, an assistant. I don't even think this game's going to be played, Mitch. I am predicting a forfeit from the New Orleans Saints that'll result in a Panthers victory. That's my bold. That's my pick this week. Give me the Panthers.
Oh, man.
In a game will not even be played. The Panthers will be able to enjoy their Sunday eating Bojangles at home.
You know, I'm predicting this game's going to be played. It'll just be with a bunch of no-names and practice squad guys. But you know what? New Orleans looked pretty good in the Big Easy last week against Green Bay. That's not going to continue. That's not going to continue. Keep pounding. Give me the Panthers at home. Following that game, the Rams, they're leaving the City of Angels to head up to the home of the Brickyard, the home of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Indianapolis, Indiana, to take on the Indianapolis Colts. Give me the Rams on the road. I like this Colts team, but not enough against Matthew Stafford and all the weapons that he has to throw to. Give me the Rams on the road.
Yeah, sneaky good game. Colts, a legitimate team, going to be in every game they play this year, but I'm with you there. Rams looked solid in week 1, should look solid in week 2. Get it done on the road. Rams over the Colts. Mitch, a great matchup here. One of the best of the week. Buffalo at Miami. AFC East implications here. Interdivision race. You got to beat your division rivals. And this is a big game. Give me Tua and the Miami Dolphins getting the win at home over Josh Allen and the Bills. Telling the world we're here to fight for the AFC East. We're not going away easy this year. Give me Miami.
Well, I can't stray away from my future Super Bowl champions. I got to take them. Take down the Fins. We're doing some poaching and killing some Dolphins this weekend. Bills Nation's going to be jumping through some tables. Give me the mustard and ketchup guy getting it dumped all over him. Give me the Bills on the road in Miami. Following that game, New England, the Patriots, they're headed down to the Big Apple to take on the New York Jets, because I think I listed this wrong. Yeah, I accidentally put the Giants twice in our notes. That's my fault. That's on me. But they're taking on the Jets. Mac Jones gets his first career win as an NFL starter on the road in New York. Give me the Pats here.
I'm making a change here. I'm making a change. There's no way
you're going with your boy.
There's no way in hell I'm picking Mac Jones to get his first career win over Zach Wilson. I can't do it.
Mitch.
J-E-T-S. Jets. Zach Wilson, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, gets the win over Bill Belichick and the Pats. Let's go. Jets Mafia. Okay. That's the what's their fan base? I don't know. I don't think there are Jets.
Don't
fans.
You disrespect the Bills like that.
All right. Move on to the next game. Next game. The Cincinnati Bengals are taking their Skyline Chili and they're headed over to Chicago to take on the Bears. Give me Joe Burrow and the Wildcats of Cincinnati to beat the Chicago Bears.
Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh my. Give me the Bears. Bear down. You got to be crazy if you're thinking about taking my Bears. We got to take them. Bears at home. Following
I'm not
that
surprised.
Game. No, no. My record picking the Bears is not great, but you know, I think I'm over 500. So that counts for something, right? Dallin, is this garbage game of the week?
You know, I will say we kind of missed it because Thursday night Giants football team is most definitely garbage game of the week.
I think
this is not going to be for lopsided affairs. Absolutely. This one is up there. But as far as the worst combined game that nobody should watch, unfortunately, it's the Thursday night game this week.
Can we put it in here, though? I mean,
sure.
Can we put it in here?
Yes.
Okay, Mitchell, go ahead and hit it.
This is just hot garbage. Straight hot garbage. You're a garbage person.
Garbage game of the week. Atlanta. They're leaving Hotlanta, the Peach State, to head over to Tampa Bay, take on the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, Bucks by a million. It's not even close.
Yeah. I'm not picking the Falcons in this one. That's for damn sure. Tampa Bay. Antonio Brown. Looking pretty good. You'll love to see it. All right, Mitch. We're heading to Arizona, where it's very hot. The Minnesota Vikings coming into town.
That was a stretch.
Where it's not very hot in Minnesota.
Arizona, they're going to Arizona.
I know. I think I said it right. The point is I'm taking the Cardinals, Kyler Murray.
Okay. All right.
Over
yeah.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. No.
I'm just
kidding. Oh, no. We're going Arizona over Minnesota here, man. There's no way. Arizona at home. It's not even close.
Yes.
Not even close. Following that, Tennessee, the Titans, they're leaving Music City to head up to the Emerald City to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Give me the Hawks, man. They're my NFC representative. I got to stick with them. You know what? I'm just riding my picks to make myself feel better about myself. Give me the Hawks at home. And honestly, I don't even think that's not a crazy pick. That's not a crazy pick at all. Seattle by 10.
It's not a crazy pick because I'm doing it too. Give me the Seahawks at home. I mean, I'm not picking Tennessee. It's home field advantage. We just talked about it. Fans in the stands. Lumen Field's going to be bumping. On Sunday, give me the Hawks. All right, Mitch. Another great matchup here. The Dallas Cowboys heading to SoFi Stadium, taking on Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers, which should be a great Sunday afternoon match. Give me the Dallas Cowboys to win this one in a shootout. I'm saying, what's the over-under here, Mitch? What's the over-under on this game?
Over-under on this game would be 55.
Give me the over. Yes. I'm saying 60 plus in this game, but we Dallas have, gets it done in a shootout.
So I like it. You're taking Dallas plus 3 here. They are the underdog in this one. I'm going to take the favorite in this one. I'm going to take Chargers minus 3, and I will hammer the over with you there. I'm going to take LA in a shootout. Justin Herbert has a hell of a game. You know what? Look for Mike Williams to have two big touchdowns here. I'm not saying he's going to catch the ball 8 times, but maybe he has 3 catches for like 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Look for something like that to happen. And Austin Eckler going to be a weapon out of the backfield. I love the Chargers in this matchup. Following that game, is this game of the week? This is game of the week.
Pretty damn close. I mean, there are some really good matchups this week, but Sunday Night Football, we have a hell of a matchup.
This is game of the week. Following, or sorry, game of the week, Sunday Night Football, my girlfriend, Carrie Underwood, who I would like to be my girlfriend.
Is that an announcement? I love it. It's official.
Me and Carrie Underwood are dating. I'm sorry. Yeah, she's kind of mean sometimes. She doesn't respond to my messages all the time, but you know.
she doesn't quite realize you're in a relationship. It's fine. It's like one of those things, you know.
That's right. She doesn't quite get it yet. Kansas City, they're leaving the home of some really good barbecue to head over to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Right now, Kansas City, 4-point favorites, minus 4, over under 55 also. Give me the over and give me Kansas City on the road. I like Kansas City minus 4 here.
I'm taking Baltimore at home, a disappointing loss to the Raiders on Monday night. I can't see a John Harbaugh team responding by going down 0-2. If they do, it'll be another close game like they fell to the Raiders this Monday. But I'm taking the Ravens at home to get it done over Kansas City and sort of, you know, wash away any narrative that the Ravens are on the down or they lost 2 games. Get it done at home. Get to 1-1 in what should be a fantastic game on Sunday night. Mitch, the final game, Monday Night Football, NFC North, Jared Goff against Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football. What a hell
is that? Is that our Adam Schefter impression?
It's close. It's got to be a little higher pitch though. Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff.
This weekend, we have Jared Goff traveling to Green Bay to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Sam, back to you.
That's great. Yes. Packers by 20. Give me Green Bay.
Packers right now favored by 10.5 over under at 48.5. I'll take Packers by 60. I mean, this is – look. Dome teams don't travel well to the frozen tundra. That's just a fact. Packers, easy win here. Easy win.
If the Packers lose this game, it's time to hit the panic button. If they go 0-2 against this after getting blown out by the Saints and then losing on Monday night to the Lions, I mean, hit the panic buttons. Call the FBI. Call somebody. I mean, it's like something's going wrong.
What's that meme with the comic book hero? And he's got the two red buttons in front of him. And he's
sweating about which one to press.
One of them is like bench Aaron Rodgers and the other one's like trade Aaron Rodgers. He's just like sweating. Like, oh no, what do I do?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Packers should be able to get it done. Mitch.
Yes.
That's it for the quick picks. That's it for the podcast.
It did. Quick picks felt good.
It feels good to get back to it. You know how we love to end the podcast on this. We love keeping track of it every year, competing in our picks. I love presenting it to you every week on the podcast here. And first of many weeks, an extra week this year for us, buddy. 18 weeks of football. You love to see it. I am so excited. It's here. It's beautiful. It's everything I remembered it to be. What a time to be alive.
I just feel alleviated. I felt like I've been in a slump since football ended. And now I'm out of my slump. Football is back. It's the best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, thank you again for listening to this podcast. If you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our socials. That is the Sports Hour Guys on Instagram. That's Sports Hour Guys on Twitter. Keep your eyes peeled for our new blog website that will be coming up soon. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can give a listen there. You can give us a listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Go on there, leave a rating. Tell us a rating and review. Tell us that we suck because, dude, that's the only way we can get better.
It is the only way that we can get better. So please do that, as Mitch said. And, you know, go on the Anchor app. Check us out on there. You can become a sponsor, a donor of the show, like Mitch's beautiful parents, Sammy and David, have done. And you can leave us a voice message and let us know what you thought of our preseason or season predictions. If you have any thoughts on week one's overreaction, what's your overreaction from week one? Let us know. Leave us a voice message. We'll play it next week. We want to hear from you and have you as a part of the show. Mitch, this has been a pleasure, my friend. What a great time. So excited to dive into this NFL season with you. And pleasure to record this podcast with you, my friend.
Here's season number four, baby. Fourth NFL season together. So let's
fourth
do it.
Fourth NFL season, episode 101 in the books. It's a beautiful time. And we'll catch you next week.
I'll see ya.